We know that the first of the Dibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Meretz Yisrael, so the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot counts this as the first mitzvah, even though HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, you might want to say is the first mitzvah, it's for Klal Yisrael, or mitzvah, certain mitzvahs that we're able to highlight in Sefer Bereishis. But the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot doesn't do the mitzvot kafi the order of the Torah. And the Rambam counts the first mitzvah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. Now, besides the fact that this mitzvah is a commandment for us to seek out and to understand on our own the existence of Hashem, that's how the Rambam presents it, it also says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that Hashem demands of us to make Hashem, to make Him, our God. Elokecha, our God. Not just intellectually understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu or to try to prove HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, but to also attempt to develop a relationship with Hashem. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am your God. And how does one begin to start a relationship? How does one develop a relationship with something that is so beyond who we are? So on the most basic level, it comes through looking at the world that's around us. We're all familiar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha, that He not only created us, but He also governs our lives, He overlooks our lives. He's not like the deists would suggest, that the world was created and then Hashem took a step back and He stands there in Shemayim laughing at what goes on down here. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intimately involved in our lives. Throughout everything that goes, whether we choose to see Him or choose to acknowledge His existence or His presence or not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intimately connected to all of our lives. And therefore, when we look out at our lives, when we look at what goes on, when we look at events that transpire, when the market goes up, when the market goes down, when there's happiness, when there's sadness, so if we take it from a perspective of looking for Hashem's Hashkacha, His guiding hand, so we'll be able to find it. And if we choose to ignore it, so we ignore it. The Pasuk tells us in Yeshaya, the first source on the sheet, Su'u marom einechem ure'u mi bara ele. Raise up your eyes to heaven. Su'u marom einechem ure'u mi bara ele. And look to see who created all of this. You look up at the sky, you look at the stars, you look at the heavens, you see tremendous creations. You look at your lives and you see things that are going on in your lives and you have to ask yourself, Mi bara ele? Who created this? And in the Sifrei Kabbalah, they point out that those words, Mi bara ele, Mi and ele together form the word Elokim. That the answer to the question lies in the question. Mi bara ele, the answer is Elokim bara. But it's only if you ask that question, Mi bara ele, if you look for it, will you be able to find the answer of Elokim bara. This is not the way that everybody looks at the world. The Pasuk, and it almost parallels, the Pasuk in Devarim tells us a different approach that people take. Pen tisa einecha hashamayma, lest you may raise up your eyes to heaven, similar expression. V'ra'isas hashemesh v'siareach v'sakochavim kol tzva hashamayim. And this time, instead of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of asking that question, what happens? V'nidachta v'shtachavisa lahem. Just as much as a person, the same two people can look at the same thing. One can look at the heavens and say, wow, mi bara ela, Hashem, look at what He created. Another person can look up at the Shemayim and he can be vinidachta, he can stray after it. And he can turn it into its own worship. Worship the stars and the moon that he sees. And this is certainly true. These are two possibilities of how people approach the world. You look at the market, it goes up. So you either can see the tremendous haslacha and say, wow, Elokim, look what Hashem did. Or you can look at it v'nidachta and you could stray and you can begin to worship the market and it can be your whole obsession. Without connecting it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can be caught up in the object itself without realizing that the moon and the stars and the sun, all of these things, behind all of them, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. During Cheira Egel, Klal Yisrael, in a moment of despair, when they were unsure of where their future lied because of their concern over the fact that Moshe disappeared. So they turned to a molten image, a calf that emerged from a fire, a golden calf. And they looked at that calf, and what did they say? What was their expression? Eile Elokecha Yisrael. And the Gra points out that unlike in Yeshaya, when you look at the heavens and you say, Mi bara Eile, you realize that there's a connection that Hashem created. Here, they only saw the Eile. Eile Elokecha Yisrael. This object, this physical object, this market, this happy event, this object, whatever it is, this is God. Eile Elokecha Yisrael. And the Gra says that all of everything in the world, all of the Metzius, everything that we have, the world, there's lots of Eile in the world, and it presents itself to us as if it exists on its own. It runs on its own. And man's challenge is to realize that behind the Eile, not to separate between the Mi Bara and the Eile, to realize that Hashem stands behind all of behind the world and behind the events that occur. When a person lives his life and his eyes are open to seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, right, that not just being blinded by the Eile, but realizing Mi Bara Eile, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands behind the world and is running the world, so such a person is confronting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Elohim. The name of Hashem Elohim, we're going to be talking tonight in general about different shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason why we need different shemos for Hashem, like why don't we just call him, if his name is Mike, call him Mike. Why do we have to have different names for Hashem? It's because we can never really connect or understand or have a relationship with Hashem because he's so distant. Our only perspective of Hashem is through the way he manifests himself in our world, through his hanhagos. So the different hanhagos that he has have different names in order so that we can relate to them. For instance, you have a friend who you call him Tough Mike. So the reason you call him Tough Mike is not because, you know, he's like, I mean, it could be sometimes, you know, the opposite. It's a Sagi Nohar, and it's because he's a big wimp. But usually Tough Mike is because, you know, like that with Shorty. The big tall guy, you call him Shorty. But Tough Mike is usually called Tough Mike because he's tough. And when he's being tough, that's why you call him Tough Mike. And if he's crying, you don't say, oh, Tough Mike, why are you crying? Because he's not being tough. There was a hockey player back before I started following hockey also, but they used to call him the Rocket. Now, they called him the Rocket because his slap shot was, he had a fast slap shot. When he was shopping for sweaters, they didn't refer to him as the Rocket. When he stepped onto the ice, he was the Rocket because at that moment, that was his hanhaga. His hanhaga was that he had a rocket slap shot. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, when we look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avdil, go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we see him in the world, running the world, we understand that he's standing behind the things that are occurring. That's when we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Elohim. In fact, in some of the earlier Svarim, it references that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elohim, is gematria of Hateva. That Elohim and Hateva, the nature, Mother Nature is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the same numerical value. What's the deeper message? Because it's not just a number game, gematrias. The deeper message that obviously is trying to be taught by that gematria is that Hashem's name of Elohim is what we see as nature. We perceive cause and effect. And if we only see cause and effect, that the Gemara says in Erchin, that when a person stubs their toe, so no one stubs their toe without there being Gezeira first in Shemayim. Now we say, what do you mean? I stubbed my toe because I was texting while I was walking and some moron left something in the middle of the floor and that's why I stubbed my toe. And that's true. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to work with Teva. Trust me, Hashem is able to multitask very well. And he's able to work things out. To give you an example, well, we're going to come to an example soon, so we'll keep that in mind. Remember later that I owe you an example to help flesh out the idea better. Elohim, yeah. Not Elohim. Hashem's real name. Right, not the Kuf, with a Hey. So, Elohim, or Hashem's name, equals Hateva. Good. So Elohim is one of the names that we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as running the world. There's another name that refers to Hashem and his interaction in this world, and that's the name Kel Shakai. Hashem's name Kel Shakai also is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in him being down here in our world. The Gemara tells us, the Chazal tells us in many places, for instance in Chagiga, in the beginning of the second paragraph of Chagiga, the Gemara tells us that Hashem is called Shakai, and I'll use his real name now just once in order so that we can understand better. That name is Shaddai. Why? Because Hashem said, La'olam odai. He said, enough. Hashem was creating the world, creating the world, creating the world, and at one point during creation, Hashem stopped and he said, die. Stop here. As the creator, he created, and then he chose on his own at what point to stop the creation. The name Kel Shakai means that Hashem is creator. So when we confront HaKadosh Baruch Hu as creator, when we confront HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one running the world, these are the names, the shemos of Kel Shakai and Elohim. Now this experience of Hashem as Elohim and as Kel Shakai is an experience on our level. It's within our own existence. It's something that we can relate to a little bit. We've now given Hashem two names, and that allows us to create, to relate to Him. Because we can understand what it means to be a creator. We can understand what it means for somebody to run something. So we've now given Hashem two names, and these are names that we're familiar with within our own experience. However, there is another name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that defies definition almost, and it's beyond our own existence. And this is the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. We refer to that name as the Shem HaEtzem, meaning the essence. It's the name of God in essence. Now, it also is not really God the essence, but we refer to it that way because in comparison to the other names, it's much more connected to Hashem's essence. Yud Kei Vav Kei is a name that refers to Hashem being beyond. Let's try to understand more. What is the name Yud Kei Vav Kei? What did Chazal tell us? The name Yud Kei Vav Kei is Haya Hove V'Yihye. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Haya Hove V'Yihye. If you have one of these Svadi Siddurim that give you the Kavanas for davening, so it'll only say that over Hashem's name. Haya Hove V'Yihye. Chazal tell us that Yud Kei Vav Kei is Haya Hove V'Yihye, which means past, present, future. Why do we refer to Hashem as past, present, and future? Because the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond time. He's not limited to the past. He's not limited to the present. We are creatures of time. Right? Somebody once said, famous saying, that time is money. Time is not money. It's much, much more than that. Time is life. Our life is made up of time. You start, and from the moment you're born, that clock is ticking. And it ticks, and it ticks, and it ticks. And Be'ezus Hashem, we'll all have 120 years. But every moment of your life is just moments of time. Your life is a collection of lots of moments of time. Hashem is beyond time. He's outside of time. It's a bugging out moment when you try to think about what it possibly means that my life, my children's life, my great-grandchildren's life, my great-great-grandfather's life are all going on for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the same time. Again, that even that word time is not shaykh by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is beyond time. And this we know because time is a function of physicality. This is something that Einstein taught us, something that we find in, we mentioned the Maharal makes reference to this before, that whenever you have something that's, time is always a creation that's connected with physicality. If you're beyond a physical existence, so there is no more time. That's why when you start to move at certain speeds, you start, the whole measurements of time start to change. Because time is very much a function of our own existence. And Hashem is beyond our existence. And that's why His name, just that name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, means Hayahove V'Yiyah. And it's much, much more than that. We don't even, not only do we not write that name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we certainly never even pronounce it. Why don't we ever pronounce Hashem's name? Okay, we don't want to use Hashem's name in vain. But when we lane, why don't we say Hashem's name? Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why don't we use the real name when we're laning? We say Elohim, we say Shaddai. Why don't we say Yud Kei Vav Kei? Why do we exchange it for the Shem Adnus, Adonai? Why do we say that? And the reason is because the name Yud Kei Vav Kei means Hashem in transcendence, beyond our world. We can't even pronounce the name. It can't be brought down into our existence. It's from another dimension. It's beyond. It's beyond our experience. We can't even pronounce it. We don't even have a word for it. Pasuk tells us Zeh Shemi Leolam Zeh Zichri Ledor Dor. And the Gemara in Kiddushin notes, also the Gemara in Pesachim, Zeh shemi liolam. This is my name forever. Zeh zichri for generations. So you could think that this is just poetic. But the Gemara tells us that no, why we refer to Hashem's name is Shemi, and then we say Zichri. Zeh Shemi Leolam, Zeh Zichri Ledor Dor. What's the difference between Shemi and Zichri? So the Gemara says, the way that my name is not the same way you will mention it. Lahazkir, to mention it. Zeh Shemi, this is my name, but Zeh Zichri, but this is how you should mention it. In other words, it won't be mentioned the same way that it is. That's what the Gemara tells us. And the Briska Rav, in a very, very beautiful piece, explains a little bit more in that pasuk. Zeh Shemi Leolam. This is my real name, Shemi, Yudke Vodke. And it's Leolam. It's for all of eternity. It's beyond time. It's before existence. It's during existence. And it's going to be after existence. Zeh Shemi Leolam. My name, Yudke Vodke, forever. But Zeh Zichri, Lidor Dor. But how I'm going to be mentioned, Briskarov. How I'm going to be mentioned, Zeh Zichri, Shem Adnus, that's Dor Lidor. That's going to be in the generations. That's going to be for you guys. In your time period, generation to generation, you'll mention my name, Adnus. But my real name, Shemi, that's Leolam. That's eternal. That's beyond. We speak about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both imminent. There's imminence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and there's transcendence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Hashem is somehow able to be ever-present, everywhere. He Melocho Haaretz Kvodo. Hashem is everywhere, and yet at the same time, Hashem is transcendent. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh doesn't mean holy. What does Kadosh mean, guys? Separate. Set aside. To be Makdish something. You set it aside, then it becomes Kadosh. Kiddushin means you set a woman aside for yourself. You are, and her, you're just for you. Kiddushin. So Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Hashem is Kadosh. And the Bali Kabbalah explained to us that the Kavana, when we say Kadosh, Kadosh, is that it's out of our world and then into the next world. Kadosh, emanate, it transcends. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Hashem Tzvakos. Milocha Aretz Kivodo. And yet at the same time, His Kavod, His glory, fills the whole world. Hashem is both imminent and at the same time, transcendent. And these are the names of Hashem. Elokim and Kel Shakai is Hashem's imminence, His presence. And Yudke Vavke is Hashem's transcendence, beyond our world. This, Agav, is the Yisod of Shir HaShirim. What happens? The door knocks. He thinks she's there. He goes to open it. She's gone. Constant chasing. This love affair that we read about, this love story. This is every person's soul striving to connect to Hashem, who's just transcendent, a little bit beyond. A little bit beyond. I remember learning in high school about one of the Greek stories. What are they called? Myths. One of the Greek myths that speaks about a certain poor soul who is starving to death, and there's a tree over him with a fruit on it, and the fruit is just out of reach. And he spends his whole existence just trying to grab the fruit, but the fruit is just out of reach. So Lahavdil here, Hashem is way beyond out of reach. But Shir HaShirim is about how we're constantly striving to connect to something that's beyond us. But yet we strive and we work to connect. To connect to Yudke Vavke. The idea of Hashem being Elokim, being in our world, is something that throughout our history people have been comfortable with. Paro himself, we're told, Paro has no problem with Elohim. The third source on the sheet, when Yosef comes and he's going to interpret the dreams for Paro, and he does interpret the dreams. Vayomer Paro el Yosef, acharehu diu Elohim oscha es kol zos, ein novo mechacham kamocha. You're able to figure out my subconscious, you're able to figure out the dreams. Elohim gave you this understanding of my dreams, amazing. Paro has no problem with Elohim. But where do we have a problem? In the Parsha and Shmos, we're told, the Achar bo Moshe v'Aaron v'yomer el Paro, kol ma'ashem Elokei Yisrael, shalach es ami, send out the nation, v'yachogli b'midbar. What does Paro say? Remember Paro, who just a minute ago said, well, Elohim gave you all of this chachma. What's Paro saying now? V'yomer Paro, Mi Hashem asher eshma bekolo l'shalachas Yisrael. Lo yadati es Hashem v'gam es Yisrael lo eshlach. Paro is very familiar with Elohim. The idea that there's a God that runs the world that's down here within our existence, that's something Paro can relate to. But the idea of a God that's completely transcendent, beyond, that we can't really connect to, this already Paro isn't willing to connect to, isn't willing to concede to. Now, in Parshas Va'era that we just read last week, anyone have a chumash here? No, okay. It's my Bar Mitzvah Parsha, so I know the Pesukim. Parshas Va'era, so we're told in the very beginning of the Parsha, thank you. We're told in the very beginning of the Parsha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to unveil a whole new relationship with Klal Yisrael and with the world. I won't lane it. I'll just say the Pesukim. Vo'era el Avraham el Yitzchok vel Yaakov v'kel Shakai. Let's start with the beginning of the Parsha. Medaber Hashem Moshe le'emor. Is that how it starts? No. How does it start? Vayedaber Elokim el Moshe. Thank you. Vayedaber Elokim. Elokim says to Moshe. Vayedaber Elokim el Moshe. Vayomer Elov. Ani Yudkevavke. Ani Hashem. So the beginning of the Pasuk starts out with who speaking? Elokim. I am Elohim. And guess what? I'm about to introduce myself. A new Hanhaga. Vayomer Elov, Ani Hashem. Let me tell you, I am Hashem. Vo'era el Avraham el Yitzchok el Yaakov. I appeared to your forefathers, Bekel Shakai, with the name Kel Shakai. Ushimi Hashem, but the name of Yudke Vavke, lo nodati lahem. That name I was never known to them with. Kadosh Baruch Hu unveils here to Moshe Rabbeinu a whole new Hanhaga. Before you knew Elohim, now you're about to start experiencing Yudke Vavke. And there are some major nafkaminas. There's some major differences that we're going to start to see because of this new Hanhaga of Yudke Vavke. The Ramban here, it's on the source sheet. It's also a Ramban in Brachos. Very, very famous Rambans, especially the second one, the one in Brachos. The Ramban tells us that the first arena where we find a difference between Yudkei Vavkei and Kel Shakai, or Yudkei Vavkei and Elokim, is in the realm of miracles. How does a Kaddish Baruch Hu perform a miracle? So the Ramban tells us that up until now, the miracles that a Kaddish Baruch Hu generally performed for the Avos were miracles that always worked within nature. Because those miracles were done through which name? Kel Shakai, as the Pasuk says. Vo'erel Avram el Yitzchak el Yaakov b'Kel Shakai. And earlier in Brachos, when Hashem says, Ani Kel Shakai, the Ramban there comments, this is the name where Nisim, Nistarim are done with Tzadikim. If Hashem wants to do a miracle for a Tzadik, what does he have to do? So I'll give you an example. The story is told, I cannot verify it, but the story is told, and I think it illustrates our point well. The story is told that the Chazon Ish didn't take buses so often. He was usually, I guess, driven around. But the few times that he came to take a bus, the Talmidim were always surprised. Every time he walked out to take a bus, guess what happened right when he walked out to get a bus? The bus came right then. Whether that's true, I don't know. But let's just use that example for a second. The fact that the bus always came when the Chazon Ish walked out, is that a miracle? If a huge bird flew down when the Chazon Ish walked out, and it landed, and the Chazon Ish was able to climb on its back, and it flew him to wherever he needed to go. That's a miracle. But the fact that the bus always worked out, that when he walked out, it happened to come, is that a miracle or not? So the Ramban says, this is what we call Nisim Nistarim. They're hidden miracles. Because to the outside casual observer, nothing miraculous happened. It's just good luck. And the Ramban says that under the Hanhaga of Kel Shakai, which again is within nature, Elokim, within nature, Teva, Hashem, when He does miracles for Tzadikim, He does them always within the system of nature. That's how He always does the miracles. So He says, for instance, if a certain Tzadik davens, and he does what he's supposed to be doing, so it could be that Hashem works out, what do we say in Shema? The rain will come at the right time, and he'll make the right business deals, and things will work out for him. These are miracles. Hashem is acting behind the scenes. And Hashem can do it. And you know what? The guy maybe didn't do so well in business school. He doesn't have much experience. But he invested in a few things. And guess what? Those things happen to have worked out. The casual observer says, all right, this guy's lucky. But what's really going on? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working things out. These are Nisim Nistarim, and these are the types of Nisim that Hashem was doing until Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ramban says. But then all of a sudden, what happens? Ani Hashem, Ani Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's the new Hanhaga? All of a sudden with Moshe, what kind of miracles start happening? Super bombastic, supernatural events. Makos, splitting of the sea. Even when Moshe's initial debut with miracles, he takes a dead stick and he gives it life. That's the complete reversal of Teva. To take something dead and to make it alive. He does the same thing with his hand, right? His hand is alive. He's doing the opposite now. His hand is alive, he sticks it in. What happens? Gets tzaras. Tzaras is death. His hand is dead. He took something dead and made it alive. He took something alive and he made it dead. What was that showing? That was Ani Hashem. That was showing that we are now working with a Hanhaga that undoes all of nature. It works outside of nature. It's not within nature. Splitting the sea. Outside of nature. Turning water into blood. All of these things are a brand new Hanhaga. And this is one place where this tension, or this, not really a tension, but these two types of names of Hashem, this Yud-Kei Vav-Kei versus Kel Shakai or Elohim, manifests itself. The other place, very, very fascinating, pointed out by the Mefarshim, is in the form of Nevuah. When the Avos received Nevuah, one of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Yikarim is that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is unique and different from all other Nevi'im. What was that? Right. And in Lashon of Chazal, we're told that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was Aspakla Yahami'ira, a clear looking glass. And the Nevuah of all the other Nevi'im and the others was Aspakla Yashe'ena Mi'ira. Unclear. So what does this mean, this difference in Nevuah? So the Rambam tells us in his Yud Gimel Yikarim that the Rambam, that for all the other Avos, whenever they had a prophetic experience, you'll be able to tell us from your studies of Bereishis through the Ramban, what was the nature of the experience of prophecy, the prophetic experience? It was always either in a vision, in sleep, not in a waking state. All of the Avos, if they needed to get a prophetic message, they either had a dream and they somehow knew that dream was prophetic, or they just passed out on the floor and had a vision. Never in a waking state did they have a direct communication with Hashem. And why is this? Because since they were interacting with Kel Shakai, with Elohim, they couldn't have a voice from another. What is Nevuah? Nevuah is a voice from another world, another dimension, from outside of our existence. You can't be living in this existence and have a conversation with somebody who's beyond, who's transcendent. So it had to cloak itself, dress itself in our worldly things. So it was either through a mashal, or it was through a vision in sleep. The person would be sleeping, and then in their sleep they would have a dream. The dream was a this worldly experience that was clothing a beyond this world experience. But it needed to have clothing. It had to take a form in this world. But what was Moshe's Nevuah? What do we say? Direct. Panim el panim. Pel peh adaber bo. Direct communication. Moshe didn't need this worldly things in order to communicate with Hashem. Hashem could just speak directly from up there. Transcend. From his transcendent spot beyond our existence, he could have direct communication with Moshe Rabbeinu. Because this was Moshe Rabbeinu's level, this was the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Moshe Rabbeinu put into all of us, and he put into Klal Yisrael, the ability to connect to things that are transcendent, things that are beyond us. This is what Yud Kei Vav Kei is about. This is an experience that we can connect to. Not necessarily to the level that Moshe Rabbeinu did, but we all have those moments. You're davening, and it's few and far between probably, but every once in a while, you have a really great davening. You hear, you meet a gadol b'Torah, and you're very inspired. You have a moment of real inspiration. You could even be on a hike, and come over a mountain or a precipice, and see a beautiful scenery, and just be so overcome that you feel like you're connecting to something much greater, much deeper. You could be at a tremendous rally or some type of event where there's tremendous koach, tremendous energy, and you feel for a second that you're connecting to something that's greater than you, that's bigger than you. Right? We've had experiences like this before in our lives, hopefully. This is connecting to some type of transcendent force, a koach that's beyond. We're told, the Maral tells us, that all over the Maral Svarim, that man has three elements to him. His nefesh, it's his lowest part, his guf, his physical body. His ruach is his life force, his nervous system, the blood flow. The difference between the carcass, the guf, and a live person is his life force. That's his ruach. That's something the animals also have. But what's unique about man is that man also has a neshama. Besides the body, right? You look, you ask certain people in the world, and they'll tell you that a person is just a very complex monkey. A monkey is a body that has a life force. And guess what? A person also is a body with a life force. But we know that mankind, is so much more than that. Mankind has a neshama, a tzelem elokim that was placed in him. What does that mean, a tzelem elokim? It means that Hashem took something from him, which is beyond. Beyond, beyond. And he placed it into us. It means that even though we're physical bodies, we are walking contradictions. We're physical things, and yet a major driving force in us is a tremendous spiritual force that comes from beyond, that comes from outside of our existence, that comes from Hashem, it's transcendent. That part of us, that neshama, is what allows us to connect to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and it's what allows us to have those transcendent experiences. So if we spend our lives cultivating our guf and our nefesh, our soul, meaning nefesh, meaning the body and our life force. If we only spend life beautifying our body, building up our body, indulging in food, in relationships, in physical relationships, in marital relationships, if that's our only focus in life, so we're only developing the this world part of us. But when we cultivate and we invest in our neshama, in our spirituality, in those things that bring us beyond, so that's what allows us to be true men, to be true people, and to really take advantage, positively, of our tzelem elokim. Pasuk tells us, the Gra opens our eyes to a pasuk that we say every Shabbos, and really shows us a tremendous added depth to the pasuk, or to the line in tefillah. Very end of the source sheet, from the Tzira Tefillah, Ashkenaz. Nishmas kol chai tverech eshimcha Hashem Elokeinu, v'ruach kol basar tefoye usiromim zichacha malkeinu tamir. So, let's take a look at that pasuk. Nishmas kol chai, the soul of every living thing, blesses your name, Hashem, and the ruach of every basar, of every thing, is tefoye usiromim zichacha malkeinu. Sounds redundant, or it sounds just poetic, but no, it's so much deeper. The Gra says, Nishmas Kochai, the neshama of everything. That's the highest part of you, your neshama. Nishmas Kochai is Tivarech what? Shimcha. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The neshama in me is what connects to Shimcha, to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But the Ruach, which we said is the lower part of man, the Ruach Kol Basar, is Tifar Usiromeim Zichrecha. What did we say early? Zeh Shemi Leolam, Zeh Zichri L'Dor Dor. Shemi is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Zichri is how we pronounce it, how we relate to the name down here. So, the Ruach of all Basar, which is man, animals, the Ruach, the life force, is able to connect to Zichrecha, to Hashem, as Hashem is manifest down here. But Nishmas Kolchai, the neshama of a person, can connect to Shimcha, to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The best way to start, and Hashem should help that we should all be able to connect to Hashem on deeper and deeper levels as we connect more to who our, to what our Tzelem Elokim is and who we really are. In that same pasuk, Vo'era El Avraham Yitzchak El Yaakov, Rashi says something very startling. Rashi says, Vo'era El Ha'avos. Talk about an unnecessary Rashi. Vo'era el ha'avos. Rashi needs to tell me Vo'era el ha'avos. What are the next words in the pasuk? Vo'era el Abraham el Yitzchak el Yaakov. What? This is a beginner's course Rashi's teaching us. In case you don't know who are these guys, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So Rashi comments and says, oh, these are the avos. That's what Rashi's doing? Vo'era el ha'avos? So, I don't remember which Hasidic Sefer I saw it in. But in one of the Chassidish Sfarim, it says, no, it's not El Ha'avos. It's El Ha'avos. The word Ava, Ha'avos. Ava means to desire. The Lo Ava Elokim, we say in V'yitein Lecha. Lo Paro, Lo Ava Paro L'shalcham, we say in this week's Parsha, I think. That Paro didn't want, Lo Ava, he didn't want, he didn't desire to sell them, to send them. So what does it mean, Vo'era El Ha'avos? Rashi's saying, yes, it's the avos, but on a deeper level, it's to those who desire a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you desire, and this is the first step, if we want, if we desire a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so that's the first step in being able to connect to Him. And then, as we try, and we try to cultivate, like we said, and to connect to the deeper parts of us, then the Shama Shinasatabi, which is Tahorahi, if we're able to connect to that, so we'll ultimately be able to hopefully connect to Yudke Vavke, and to all the transcendent that's laden in that name. Have a good Shabbos, guys.